When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don Neely view system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scouts. Something a bit different today. Some of you might have completely switched off from FPL content, but I'm here to talk through game week 17. Seems like a good time. We've just had the double game week announcement. The third match day of the World Cup is underway. And, you know, I did the FPL pod yesterday, and was talking to Harry, got me thinking about my first draft because I hadn't really thought about it too much. So I spent the morning putting something together, looking at some stats, looking at some different players, and I've put something together to show in this match. I'm recording this before the England game has happened tonight. So Southgate, best manager ever, or Southgate out, delete as appropriate based on the result tonight. Hopefully it was a good game and we won, but yeah, at the moment I don't know. Netherlands and Qatar are going on in the background. But yeah, let's talk a bit about FPL. Let me know in the comments if you want some more Game Week 17 content. If you're liking a little trip into FPL territory, give this video a like. Do subscribe to the channel as well. World Cup content has been tough because I know a lot of people have kind of checked out or tuned out doing other things. I know there's been problems with the games as well. So obviously views and on the videos haven't been high. But thank you for everyone who has been watching that. Hopefully there is an audience out there who's interested in getting back into Game Week 17. And in which case, we'll start doing more content on that in the weeks ahead, leading up to the big second half of the season. Before we get into that, I just want to talk about TalkSport. You might have seen we're advertising these TalkSport fan zones. They're doing them for pretty much every game across the World Cup. You can grab a ticket from £10 or up to £100, which gets you like a free bar and access to meet some of the TalkSport hosts. Scout will be around next Friday to talk through some of this. Friday the 9th, I think it is, to be there. So if you're interested in getting a ticket, you can come meet us. Have a chat with us about things. It's in Leake Street Arches in Waterloo. It's where Fest happened. Tomorrow it's Tunisia and France, Australia, Denmark, and then later on it's Poland, Argentina, Saudi Arabia, Mexico. Or if you're looking at Thursday, it's Croatia, Belgium, Canada, Morocco, and then later on Japan and Spain and Costa Rica, Germany. So you can come for either the kind of earlier kickoff or the later one. But it's a really good laugh. Obviously, lots of like-minded people watching the football. You can have a beer over them. So there's a link in the description below if you're interested to get a ticket. And hopefully we'll see some of you there next week. Right, let's talk about the big announcement yesterday, which was the double game week. It was one of those ones, you see the tweet from Scout, and you think, oh my God, double game week, that's really exciting. And then you kind of look into a bit more and you think, actually, this isn't actually that exciting. So if you're not aware, there's three double game weeks that have been confirmed. Obviously, there's a lot of fixtures to make up due to the Queen's passing. Some other fixtures that have to be rearranged as well. A couple have been dropped in. So in game week 19, so obviously game week 17 is on Boxing Day. The fixtures are thick and fast, but in just a couple of days or a week or something, it'll be game week 19. And this is a confirmed double game week for Fulham and Chelsea. Fulham are playing Leicester away and Chelsea at home, and Chelsea are playing Man City at home and Fulham away. So not the best fixture, really. I mean, the Fulham Leicester game, I mean, Mitrovic, it obviously promotes Mitrovic a little bit depending on how far Serbia get into the World Cup. And I'd fancy to have Mitrovic against Chelsea, who've been struggling a bit defensively as well. So I think it does definitely boost Mitrovic up a few places in the kind of striker watch list. For Chelsea, though, I mean, they play City. They got an away game at Fulham. You would expect them to win it. But I mean, game week 19, you talk about Potter's rotation. we don't know who's even going to be starting in goal. We don't know which players are going to be back and fit. You know, Mount, for example, if England make it far into the tournament, is he going to be fit enough to play? It's going to be a bit of a rotation minefield. So do I think it massively boosts the prospects of Chelsea's attackers? It's going to be 19 fixture, not really. I think it makes Kepa an even better option, because obviously he's now got the extra Fulham game in a game where Man City was looking really tough. So I think Kepa and Ward is just going to be an absolutely dynamite combo for people starting, especially given Chelsea's first two fixtures that we'll look at in a minute. So it's good news for Chelsea. It's good news for Mitrovic as well. But yeah, attacking-wise, I don't think there's going to be too much interest in the Chelsea attackers. Game week 20 is an interesting one. Man City and Spurs both have a tough first game. Man City United away, Spurs Arsenal at home. They'll then play each other, but only if the FA Cup third round match that they play isn't a draw. So Man City have got Chelsea in that, which is an unbelievable third round tie. Spurs have got Portsmouth. You'd obviously expect Spurs to win that, but you never know given the players coming back and things like that. Man City-Chelsea, I mean, that could easily be a draw to two fairly evenly matched teams. I mean, you would expect City to win it, but again, you never really know what teams are going to come out, especially if someone like Rodri, for example, makes it really far into the tournament of the World Cup and isn't fully fit to come back in. So interesting one that, you know, there could be a draw in that, but if there's not, then they were playing each other. So what does that mean for these two? I mean, obviously it boosts your City assets. I think we're all going to be taking three City assets into this. De Bruyne, for example, if Belgium go out early, is going to look really, really good. Foden is having his minutes managed, so is he going to come straight back in? I think so. Someone like Cancelo is going to be, you know, an absolute lock, I think, in a lot of people's teams. And obviously Haaland up top with the rest is going to be 100% owned, I imagine. No, surely no one's going to be brave enough to go without Haaland. I mean, for Spurs, though, I think it does boost, you know, the likes of Kulusevski, who's going to fly quite under the radar. I don't think too many of us can be taking a punt on too many other players other than Kane, maybe Son. Kane's on four yellow cards, which is a bit of a concern. England might go into a few more rounds. He's got this bit of an injury cloud around him already, but obviously he's the best option in the Spurs attack. But that would probably mean you're going threemium if you're going Salah and Haaland, who've had the rest. I think it's going to take someone quite brave to go for Kane with the four yellow cards and the run in the World Cup over one of those two. But yeah, I mean, and then in defence, I mean, you've got Ben Davis, you've got Dyer, not the sexiest options. You could go for one of the wing backs, but we're already seeing problems in rotation with that, especially around such a congested Christmas schedule. So I think Kulusevski is a really good one, because he's obviously had the injury, he's come back, he's had the rest now as well, and they're the kind of players you want to be looking at. So I think, you know, if there is a prospective double game, but even though it's not a particularly attractive one against Man City, it just boosts Kulusevski up a little bit more, I think, and he'll probably start both of those two games because they need their strongest team. Game week 23, Man City do have a confirmed double game week here, so it's a bit further on down the line. We're probably all going to have our three City players anyway, but it's a decent game week. I mean, Aston Villa at home, and then potentially a title decider, Arsenal away. Really big game in that. I mean, Villa have improved, or will have probably have improved a bit more with Emery, you know, having a bit longer to work his magic, already seeing signs of improvement from the Gerrard era. So it's an okay game week. I mean, any double game week for City is going to be good. But, you know, Arsenal away is obviously really tough. But, you know, I do like it. I mean, the question mark is what do we do with Haaland? Is he a potential triple captain option across these fixtures? I mean, if we know he's going to play both of either of these games, then I think he has to be considered, because we're going to want to put it on him at some point. The longer we leave it, the more chances that City are deep into the Champions League, that maybe they've, you know, won the league already. Sorry, Arsenal fans. But, you know, if we use it early in a game like this, when we're desperately trying to get points, maybe teams are having players coming back from injury, but Haaland's had the big rest, maybe this is the time to plump on him. So maybe Haaland will be a triple captain option in game week 20 or game week 23. Probably game week 20, I think, if that Tottenham game goes ahead. It does look good. You expect him to score against United and Spurs. And the other double game week is Arsenal, also in 23. They have confirmed two home games, Brentford at home, which looks nice, and then Man City at home as well. So the likes of Saka, Jesus, Martinelli, people are keeping. You know, if you've got Saliba, he's going to be a good option because he's not playing too much in the World Cup. Ben White as well. I think he's a great option playing at right back. Again, not used too much for England as well. So I think a lot of us can have the triple up on Arsenal, or at least the two with Martinelli and one of White or a Saliba. So probably a third one is beneficial for that. They've got a good run as well, as we'll see. So that's your double game weeks. Again, not hugely exciting. Maybe we'll see some more, you know, more double game weeks announced before the World Cup ends. That would be nice. But this is all we've got kind of at the moment. If we look at the fixtures, and this is a great chart from Lego Manny, So follow him on Twitter at LegoMan8. He's also got the cup rounds in. So there's a cup round before the season starts on the 20th of December. So you've got to think we're going to see some mass rotation around that. The Carabao Cup, the teams in that are Man City, Liverpool, United, Leicester, Brighton, Wolves, Newcastle, Southampton, Bournemouth, Forest. There's still some, you know, some big teams left in that. Then obviously it's game week 17. Some of the standout fixtures in this, I think, are Chelsea versus Bournemouth. Looks really, really good. United versus Nottingham Forest. That looks like an excellent game as well. Newcastle versus Leicester. I think that's a good looking game as well. So like the likes of Almiron and Wilson as well. Some of the Leicester players are obviously going quite deep into this. Castagne's playing quite a lot, for example, as well. Madison's been away with England. You know, I think this could be a good game for Newcastle, given the form they've been showing. Tottenham at Brentford as well. So again, Kulusevski, I think, looks a good option. And Man City, I mean, Man City have a great game against Leeds away, and they're straight into Everton at home in game week 18. So, you know, when you're building your teams, I think you want to pay a lot of attention to this block of fixtures, this game week 17 to 19, because this is, you know, three game weeks over about 6 days. So you really want to make sure the players you've got in your team are players that are likely that are going to play the most minutes across those games. So I'm looking at Haaland, I'm looking at Salah, I'm looking at Kulusevski. You know, these are players from top sides that are surely going to have to play. Another player that I really, really like is Martial. Had that injury, come back. Ronaldo's gone now. They've got Nottingham Forest, Wolves and Bournemouth across those three fixtures. And you've got to expect Martial to play significant minutes across those, because they've got too many options, and Rashford's off with England as well. So there's real potential, I think, in some of these games to really kind of target key fixtures and push forward. And I'll talk about the team that I've put together in just a second. So yeah, focus on those three block. I mean, then you can look at sort of the FA Cup and Carabao Cup. It's got some other cup games, and then it's game week 20 on the 14th of January. So this is, you know, it's quite, the next Premier League game is quite a while away from game week 19. You're looking at, you know, nearly 2 weeks for that, and then a week until the next game as well. That's why these doubles have kind of come in. And then from game week 21, it's an even bigger gap, because then you've got a load of other cup matches, and then it's the 4th of February, my birthday, where game week 22 kicks off. So it's a really condensed schedule, and then it's a load of cup games, you know, in and around some Premier League games where there's a bit more time around it, and then kind of normal service is resumed. So yeah, my advice here, target game week 17 to 19, looking at Chelsea, looking at Man United, looking at Man City as well, they're key targets. Arsenal, we've got three good games as well, West Ham, Brighton and Newcastle. I mean, Brighton and Newcastle defensively quite strong as well. Arsenal with Derby, anything can happen, but you know, you've got to expect them to carry on picking up points. And they'll need to, because then they play Spurs and United going forward. So yeah, some good teams to target there. We haven't mentioned Liverpool as well. I mean, Aston Villa defensively, you know, pretty strong. Leicester, mentioned them earlier. They have improved defensively as well, but might have some key players, you know, missing. And then Brentford. So I don't think we're going to see too much interest in the likes of Nunes and Trent. I think Salah's going to be the most popular one. Maybe Nunes will come in. He did have a good end to the first half of the season. But yeah, certainly pay these three fixtures in mind. I cannot stress that enough. Let's take a look at my watch list first before I show you my team. So I've updated this with just, you know, a load of players that I'm considering at the moment. At the top is the player with the best non-penalty expected goal involvement per 90 stats, 73, the most attacking player in each position. So that goes to Perisic in defence. I've talked about him quite a lot on Black Box and on these streams. 0.36 non-penalty per XGI. I mean, that's basically what a goal involvement every couple of games. Not really good enough, given what we know Perisic is capable of. Trippier is only just below that as well, 0.33. So he's got the most FPL points of all defenders. He's second on the list for defenders in terms of non-penalty XGI per 90. Trent just below him, 0.32, but obviously significantly more than both of those players as well. Then you've got the likes of Castagne and Cancelo. I mean, 0.20 for Castagne, Cancelo 0.17. You know, Castagne only 5 points behind Cancelo in the overall points, 65 to 70, having a really, really strong start to the season. I mean, Trent, for example, is on 40, Trippier's on 96, Perisic on 45 is really disappointing. Castagne's, you know, has been absolutely brilliant for me, getting those Leicester defence in, taking the money out of my defence, getting rid of Trent, getting rid of James, getting rid of Cancelo, and you know, getting the likes of White, Castagna, even Gaye's coming with some points. It's kind of seen my season turn around a little bit. And you look at these defensive, you know, attacking numbers, and like I say, I mean, you know, for an elite attacker, you're looking at about 0.5, 0.6. You know, you're hoping for some kind of attacking return every other game, something like that. I'd say that's a really, really good stat for a defender. No players are coming anywhere near that. It's not the year of the defender like we all thought it would be. I mean, Dallow and Shaw, you know, two attacking-looking fullbacks for United, 0.15 for Shaw, 0.13 for Dallow. I don't know. I think Cancelo is going to be pretty important, given that double game week news, given City's fixtures as well. But I don't think we're going to be spending too much money extra in defence. You know, a lot of the defenders who are over 6 million or even over 5.5 million just don't really seem to be worth it. Perisic is a good example of that. So I think if you're going with Trippier, if you're going with Cancelo, and then you get a cheaper name and you get a White or you get a Shaw, depending on how United do, or a Castagna or someone like that, and you bank that money and use that in the rest of your squad. In midfield, De Bruyne is leading the way. Non-point XG per 90 of 0.74. That is like absolutely elite, absolutely brilliant. He's not delivering for Belgium at the time of recording. Two poor games from him. He's, you know, caused a bit of unrest in the camp. Apparently he's having a few arguments. It's almost like the opposite of someone like Shaw or Maguire, who's gone away and you know, is kind of recuperating from all the abuse they get at club level. It seems to be the opposite for De Bruyne for some reason. I don't really know what's going on. You've got to think he's going to be quite relieved when he goes back to City. I think he's a great option for those who are happy to take the money out of defence and go for this threemium option. So I really like De Bruyne. He's someone that I'm definitely considering. Next is Foden on my list, 0.57, so still really, really high attacking numbers. I know there was a bit of a scare around, you know, some of the matches he missed, and I do wonder if something had happened between him and Pep. But again, he's someone that's been doing really well for me this season, and someone that, you know, I think he's going to carry on and continue and have a really strong season. There are some risks around him, but you know, you're paying 4.3 million less than De Bruyne, and he's got 76 points compared to De Bruyne's 90. So 14 points, I'd say it's worth it for that. And I think, you know, he's pretty nailed on. He's going to miss the odd game. I can't see him missing two in a row like he did before. Kulusevski, I really like. I think he's going to be someone who not a lot of people consider and flies under the radar, actually. Only 8 million, 0.53, non-point XGI. He's really, really good in the games I've seen him play. When he's back, he's better than Son, for example, 0.47. Son as well, South Korea disappointing in the World Cup. You know, Richarlison's knocking around. I think Kulusevski's the obvious choice there. I like Trossard as well, 7.1, 80 points, having a really strong start to the season. That hat-trick against Liverpool helped. He is frustrating, don't get me wrong, but you know, we are an attacking side under De Zerbi. 0.48, non-point XGI, but 90 is really high, so I like him. I've got Sterling in there just as a Chelsea player to consider. I don't think we will be considering him too much, given that he's off playing with England and playing quite a lot. Mount as well. It's one of those two if you're gonna target the Chelsea attack, but probably not worth it. Almiron. I mean, Almiron isn't in my side, as I'll show you in a second. He's got to be considered though. Man, only 5.8, 93 points. It's only three less than Trippier. It's more than De Bruyne, for example. Absolutely crazy. And his XGI numbers are good. I mean, 0.43 is excellent for a sub 6 million midfielder. You know, it doesn't matter that his price has gone up from 5. You've got to kind of forget about that. I really like him at 5.8. I think he's an outstanding option. And I think you're going to need to have one of him or Wilson going forward. I've got Antony in there as well. He's off with Brazil, but not playing too much. I think 7.5 is a good price for him, given, you know, United's fixtures, as I've said, are really, really nice. 0.39 is an okay non-point XGI per 90. I do prefer Martial up top, but Antony's a bit of a differential, I think. And then Sinisterra, who, after I said, was one of the greatest players ever in the league, has been really poor, but, you know, his non-point XGI numbers are still good over the season, 0.38. He's had the injuries kind of come back into the side, and, you know, it's a tough game for Leeds against City in the first game, but he's, again, a bit of a differential punt. Also got Bowen in there as well, who I probably won't be going to, but it is worth noting that his non-point XGI per 90 has gone up from about 0.07 or something up to 0.32. So he's getting back to levels of where he was last season, but he's going to need to double that output, really. Finally then, forwards. So Haaland, top of the pile, 0.94, absolutely elite, basically getting you something every game. He's had a rest, he's playing with the best team in the league. He's got double game weeks coming up. Yeah, no one's going to be going without him. Nunes is next, 0.89. I mean, that is really high. I mean, I kind of wrote him off earlier in the video. He's been pretty poor for Uruguay as well. But it's really, really high expected data as well. I just think he's going to not be as popular because people are going to go for Salah. But Uruguay are struggling in the group. If they do go out early and Nunes comes back and gets the rest, I think he could be a good option, you know, alongside Salah or even instead of Salah. I just think those forward spots are tricky because there's a lot of good players in that. You know, some of the ones we mentioned, Mitrovic, Martial, Wilson's there as well, Haaland. Using a spot for him when Salah's had the full rest is, I don't think I'll be doing it. But I can see why. I can see the logic. Jesus is there, 69 points. Disappointing given his XGI numbers are so high, 0.72. But again, Arsenal got good fixtures and he hasn't been playing too much for Brazil. So he's someone to consider. And then look at Martial there, 0.61. That's really, really high. He's looked really good in the games that he's played. United have got brilliant fixtures and he's only 6.7 as well. So he's my kind of bit of a left field punt for you. His ownership is something ridiculous, like 1% or something like that. Tony, I probably won't be going there. But, you know, again, he hasn't gone to the World Cup. 0.49 is decent. He's got the penalties for Brentford. Mitrovic, I like, 0.47. And there's a few other names, Welbeck and Skamaka. But again, I think the forward options are too strong to really consider either of those. So, yeah, I like Haaland. I like Martial. I like Mitrovic. I do like Nunes as well. And I really like Wilson. One of Wilson or Almiron will definitely be the way that I'd play this. Let's take a look at the team that I put together today then. This is over on Peter's FPL team. Go check it out. You can see how your team shapes up for the doubles and for the other quick successive game weeks as well. I've gone for a goalkeeper combo of Kepa and Ward, which I think is going to be insanely popular, you know, going forward. I don't really know what other goalkeepers I'd go for. Maybe a Ramsdale. You know, I had Henderson, who was a bit of a left field punt. Maybe some people keep the faith in Pope. But I really do think Kepa and Ward is the way to go. Because, you know, if Kepa does lose his place to Mendy, then you've got Ward coming in, who's shown now that he can step up to it. So it's a great combination, I think. I've gone for Trippier, Cancelo and Shaw. That Shaw spot is a bit unsure, ironically. Obviously, if England go really deep into the tournament, if we make it to the semis, which I doubt. But if we do, it would be too much of a gamble on him. Dalot's the other option as well if Portugal go early. So probably be one of those two, depending on who goes further into the tournament. But I really want to target those first three fixtures for United. They look really, really good. It's Salah, Foden, Kulusevski and Martinelli. Martinelli's a bit of a concern because I think Brazil are going to win the whole thing now, to be honest, which probably isn't that insightful given they've probably been the best team alongside France. Martinelli's a bit of a concern if that happens, but obviously there's a lot of value tied up in him if you bought him, you know, very, very cheap. And he's a player that I think we're all just going to have for the whole season because he's looked so good for his price. So, you know, there might be something you could, you know, maybe Martinelli could become Almiron for a bit if you've got a bit of money in the bank or something like that. But I do like Martinelli in those games. But if Brazil go far and Martinelli plays a bit, there's no way he's going to start all three of those matches. So there might be better options. But again, you know, the money saving is tricky. Kulusevski, I just really, really like. Be interesting to know how many people go for him. And then up top, I've gone for Haaland, captain with the rest, Martial and Callum Wilson. And on the bench, it's Ward, Andreas, White and Minks. Now, I genuinely haven't looked at any other teams on Twitter or on any of the videos. I don't know how template this is. Maybe I'm saying Kulusevski and Martial are these kind of great left field options and they're not and everyone's got them. I'm not really too sure. But this was kind of it was quite nice to build a team, you know, completely from scratch, away from all the noise. And, you know, this video will help in a few weeks when I come back to it and I see which players I've changed, maybe because I'm getting tempted by other players I've seen other teams have and stuff like that. So, you know, I think that it is important to at least get a team in and take a screenshot of it now and, you know, just see how you kind of line up and see where your changes are, you know, when the season starts off and see why you've made those changes. Just making changes for the sake of it, you know, because often your first instincts for these things are really, really good. So yeah, build a team, look at your instincts, go check out some stats, watch all the videos that we're going to be putting out, you know, from now until, you know, through the World Cup. We'll be doing some more videos on Game Week 17. Obviously, the week before, we'll be ramping up content a lot as well. Let me know your teams in the comments. Let me know if you want to see more Game Week 17 content. There's loads of stuff we can do and start early as well. Give this video a like as well. Do subscribe to the channel, and I will see you all very soon.